The South African banking sector has been one of the most exciting areas to watch over the last 30 years and produced many success stories, including Tyme Bank. This once fledgling banking enterprise has remained focused on tackling financial inclusion since its inception in 2012. This year, it was named one of Time's 100 most influential companies in the world as it continues to disrupt banking in Africa and Asia. Adrian Saville and Bruce Whitfield have documented the business's journey to date in their new book, It's About Time, Banking Beyond Borders. Bruce, thank you for joining me. It's so good to be speaking to you again. A lot has changed in your life since we last spoke. You've added yourself to the list of great South African exports. And I was wondering whether living abroad has given you a different perspective on what it takes for South African businesses to thrive beyond our borders.
Yeah, Twanji, I'm hardly ever away, so I'm not too sure what we're talking about. But certainly I've taken on a new mantle, and I sort of like to think of myself as an international man of mystery, and I never spend enough time in one place long enough to get a perspective on anything other than whenever I'm back in South Africa, I get a renewed sense of optimism that despite the noise, despite big inquiries into the integrity of the police force or the lack of it, or the president's determination to call the ANC's bluff if they want him to resign, or all of the noise, that deep underneath the surface, there are remarkable South Africans doing remarkable things every day. And among them, the founders of a business called Tyme, Take Your Money Everywhere, a South African originated bank, which is grown up in South Africa. It's got 12 million customers here. It's got nearly 8 million customers in the Philippines. It is lending money to small businesses in Indonesia. And if my instincts are right, we'll soon get a banking license there and start taking deposits as well, with plans to expand aggressively into Southeast Asia, which is why this time last year, when Konrad Jonker, the co-founder of Tyme, approached Adrian Saville, the business professor at Gibbs, and myself to write the story, we said, oh, yes, please, because we think there's an adventure to be told. And oh, my goodness me, there is.
I was so fascinated by that, and you do allude to it in the book, but I mean, you're without a doubt one of South Africa's most respected financial journalists, and there were challenges around balancing authorized access into telling the story with your own objective kind of perspective. And how did you and Adrian manage to navigate that?
Very simple. I'm not very good at taking instructions from anybody, essentially making myself unemployable. And so when Kun said, will you write our story? I said, sure, we can write your story. And I'd had a conversation with Adrian on this. And I said, if there is ever even a flicker, even a suggestion of intervention in the narrative, then I will walk away from the project. And, you know, if ever there is an attempt to alter the story or to alter the facts as we see them, yeah, I will walk away from the project. And I made this very clear to Kun and his team. And he was very clear on his goal as well. He said, look, I will learn things about the business that I don't know, because you will talk to people in a way that I don't talk to them. And we need to know our story, because this is a business that has its origins in the year 2020, when Kun, in 2000, I beg your pardon, when Kun was the in the first intake at Gibbs on the Gordon Institute of Business Science. He was a high-powered lawyer. He was chief executive of Edward Nathan Friedland in those days, now ENS today. He was a trained lawyer, and he was the CEO of this business, and they sent him to do an MBA because he was terribly good at law but didn't really have too much of an idea on business. And so he did his MBA at Gibbs, then resigned from Gibbs to start a banking division within Standard Bank in 2005, which ultimately ended because square pegs and round holes, that just wasn't working for the bank, even though they'd signed up a million customers. But Kun is also not one who plays by tradition and rules. And so we kind of got along from the start. And you just said, look, we're forgetting our stories. Yeah. And I think every business needs to come to this realization, as you get so busy being busy and you evolve and grow so fast that you do forget the origin story. And what Kun has done is something incredibly courageous, and that is allow a business professor in Adrian Saville and a journalist with a nose for a story free access into the digital archive that is the story of Tyme Bank, plus anybody and everybody we wanted to talk to all about this quite remarkable story. Mm. And I'm afraid Adrian fully admits to drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'm pretty much in admiration of the main characters in the story as well, because it's been a hell of a ride.
And speaking about that ride, you know, I was just thinking about it as I was reading. I started this year talking about T.J. Strayhorn's Capitec book. And the yes. banking sector in South Africa is fascinating. It's been produced some of the biggest success stories, but it's been a bumpy ride. And the TymeBank story is so different to the Capitec story. What really intrigued you about it? Because, I mean, it felt like it was going to end many times along the way.
That is the story. It is one about the Capitec story, and TJ did a magnificent book on Capitec. And everybody knows Capitec better than they know Time, I think. And I think one of the great difficulties of telling the story is because Time's target market is very clearly the base of the economic pyramid, the 24% of people in the world who are deemed unbankable by mainstream banks. The book buying public, people who listen to this fine radio station and others, are not that familiar. They sort of see it as that bank for those people over there. And that is the thing I found really fascinating, because in the background of what is being built at Time is the most extraordinary technological story. It is a story of technology that was built in-house for many years and drew the attention of Commonwealth Bank of Australia, which for a while was invested in Time because they saw the genius of this team and wanted a piece of the action so that they could roll out digital banks in Southeast Asia. Commonwealth Bank of Australia then got into trouble of its own in its own market and sold off all of its international assets, including Time, to the founders and to African Rainbow Capital, which is Patrice Motsepe investment vehicle. And that's truly when the story begins in 2019, when they've got their banking license and they begin opening bank accounts for people. And that's how recently this iteration, and there have been about five iterations, and you'll have to read the book to get an understanding of how you go from a division of Standard Bank to being owned by Deloitte to serving MTN to being owned by Commonwealth Bank of Australia and ultimately by being controlled by African Rainbow Capital and drawing money from investors around the world, including one of the world's most successful fintechs or financial technology businesses, the most valuable company in Brazil today, and that is a company called Nubank. And recently became the most valuable business in Latin America. And it's got 120 million customers with ambitions to grow into the United States, where it's applied for a banking license. So it's a very convoluted story, but it is a story of South African exceptionalism, of South African genius, of South Africans who are able to rise above some really difficult economic circumstances. And you think of the last 10 years in South Africa, just how tough the economy has been and how unsupportive it has been. And TymeBank has grown up in South Africa and expanded into Southeast Asia in a way that saw Time magazine earlier this year name it as one of the 100 most influential businesses in the world. And this is a company started by a law graduate from the University of the Free State and a guy with a PhD in AI from the 1990s, who is just this week actually being given an honorary PhD on top of his real PhD from Stellenbosch. So two remarkable individuals, South Africans, building a business in South Africa to be exported to growth markets around the world.
And I think that's the thing. And, you know, when the South African economy is limited, it's inspiring to hear stories of companies that are looking beyond, you know, our borders. And you touched a lot on the collaboration and the role that it's played in TymeBank's journey. And I was fascinated from a writing perspective. We've talked about many of your books on this particular show. But this time you decided to write with someone else. What was that collaboration experience like with Adrian? And how did it change the book that you may have written by yourself if you were on your own?
It certainly was very good to have adult supervision. Adrian is an economist by training. He is got a very level head on his shoulders, and he is a man of huge experience and deep thought when it comes to the way businesses are built, and he's studied many business models around the world. So I've brought the storytelling and the drama and see the quirks and the corners and put in things that make Adrian sort of quiver with fear, going, can we really put that in? Oh, yes, we should put that in, because it's all part of the story. He brings the gravitas and really pulls it all together from a global perspective to say, this is why this South African business, which is probably underrated by most people who sort of glance at it without too much depth in South Africa, make you realize that actually this is a business that is boxing above its weight all over Southeast Asia, and is taken very seriously in Southeast Asia. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of walking anywhere with Robbie Brosen.
I have not. But
whenever you go anywhere with Robbie Brosen, it's like people just want a piece of him because he exudes energy, positivity, and entrepreneurial zeal. I noticed with Kun as we walked around just last week, the Singapore FinTech Festival, which is one of the biggest FinTech festivals in the world. There are thousands of exhibitors speaking a language which I don't know how they understand it, but it's a new language of financial technology. And I found him getting stopped every 10 meters as we were trying to go off to have a meeting and a discussion. And I was like saying, oh, you're becoming well known. He goes, something seems to be working. So he's becoming something in Southeast Asia of a standout character because, you know, unlike many fintechs, Time has been one of the fastest into profitability and is one of the fastest growing in the world as a digital bank. And so, yeah, it is a remarkable story of South African success happening around the world.
And we'll be watching the ride. Thanks so much, Bruce. We're going to have to leave it there, but thanks for your time. It's About Time, Banking Beyond Borders by Adrian Saville and Bruce Whitfield was published by Pan Macmillan. FMR.